8. First work of the 12. After disposing of the fish catches of 2 weeks, Judas Iscariot, the one chosen to act as treasurer of the 12, divided the apostolic funds into 6 equal portions, funds for the care of dependent families having been already provided. And then near the middle of August, in the year AD 26, they went forth 2 and 2 to the fields of work assigned by Andrew. The first 2 weeks Jesus went out with Andrew and Peter, the second 2 weeks with James and John, and so on with the other couples in the order of their choosing. In this way he was able to go out at least once with each couple before he called them together for the beginning of their public ministry. Jesus taught them to preach the forgiveness of sin through faith in God without penance or sacrifice, and that the Father in heaven loves all his children with the same eternal love. He enjoined his apostles to refrain from discussing 1. The work and imprisonment of John the Baptist. 2. The voice at the baptism. Said Jesus, "Only those who heard the voice may refer to it. Speak only that which you have heard from me, speak not hearsay." 3. The turning of the water into wine at Cana. Jesus seriously charged them, saying, "Tell no man about the water and the wine." They had wonderful times throughout these 5 or 6 months during which they worked as fishermen every alternate 2 weeks, thereby earning enough money to support themselves in the field for each succeeding 2 weeks of missionary work for the kingdom. The common people marveled at the teaching and ministry of Jesus and his apostles. The rabbis had long taught the Jews that the ignorant could not be pious or righteous. But Jesus' apostles were both pious and righteous, yet they were cheerfully ignorant of much of the learning of the rabbis and the wisdom of the world. Jesus made plain to his apostles the difference between the repentance of so-called good works as taught by the Jews and the change of mind by faith, the new birth, which he required as the price of admission to the kingdom. He taught his apostles that faith was the only requisite to entering the Father's kingdom. John had taught them repentance, to flee from the wrath to come. Jesus taught, "Faith is the open door for entering into the present, perfect, and eternal love of God." Jesus did not speak like a prophet, one who comes to declare the word of God. He seemed to speak of himself as one having authority. Jesus sought to divert their minds from miracle-seeking to the finding of a real and personal experience in the satisfaction and assurance of the indwelling of God's Spirit of love and saving grace. The disciples early learned that the Master had a profound respect and sympathetic regard for every human being he met, and they were tremendously impressed by this uniform and unvarying consideration which he so consistently gave to all sorts of men, women, and children. He would pause in the midst of a profound discourse that he might go out in the road to speak good cheer to a passing woman laden with her burden of body and soul. He would interrupt a serious conference with his apostles to fraternize with an intruding child. Nothing ever seemed so important to Jesus as the individual human who chanced to be in his immediate presence. He was master and teacher, but he was more. He was also a friend and neighbor, an understanding comrade. Though Jesus' public teaching mainly consisted in parables and short discourses, he invariably taught his apostles by questions and answers. He would always pause to answer sincere questions during his later public discourses. The apostles were at first shocked by, but early became accustomed to, Jesus' treatment of women. He made it very clear to them that women were to be accorded equal rights with men in the kingdom.